Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here with Siler to bring you the post-game show following Germany's awesome, massive, what other words can you say, huge victory over the Netherlands, 2-1. Siler, how are you? I know you enjoyed that match.
Very much did. I'm doing great at the moment, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, this is one of the fun times we get to do a post-game show where I think we come out of it just filled with excitement, because I know coming into this international break, I wanted to be hopeful, but honestly, I was a little bit of a pessimist. I didn't know how Germany would do. I sure as hell did not think they would be able to knock off both France and the Netherlands. Siler, did this break meet your expectations? I know you were more optimistic than I was, because you know you are BFW's resident Nagelsmann fan. Did this live up to what you thought it could be?
It lived up to it and more, honestly. I did not think that any national team was capable of having such smooth passing and set-piece sequences in just a few weeks of training. This looked way smoother than even Bayern's movements at times. I felt like I was watching a club team play. So this is, I mean, it's blown my already pretty high expectations out of the water. I genuinely think Germany are one of the favorites for the Euros if they play like this. But I want to know what your expectations were for this, because I know that my expectations were at a certain level, but I sort of funneled myself into that. I didn't really know what other people were thinking prior to these games.
Yeah, I honestly didn't expect much. I thought there would be some scuffling. I thought we would see some good moments, but not great moments. I thought it would just be overall pretty choppy, but I will be honest with you. Julian Nagelsmann has come in and he did exactly what I think a lot of people did not think he could do in this kind of format, which was change the entire culture of this team, get them believing in themselves, and bring German football back to the way it should be, which is a strong, relentless attack, consistent and smart pressure, a staunch defense, and contributions from everyone. He seemed to push all the right buttons. When he made subs, they were impactful. I think when you bring in Chris Furyk today, to see the way he impacted the game was incredible. So Nagelsmann, clearly, he has a great feel for what he's doing. And listen, I honestly doubted that he could do it in this format, but he is proving me wrong, and I want to give him credit for that.
And I want to say that a big part of the reason that that's happened is the kind of call-ups that have come through. I think Nagelsmann has watched the league very closely, and some of the call-ups that have come through have been purely out of performance. And these are players who are hungry. This is something I mentioned when Nagelsmann was first announced as part of the Germany team, is that he needs to start bringing up these players who have not played for the national team because they have hunger. And he's done exactly that. And these are the players that are performing now. Robert Andrich, Maximilian Mittelstadt, Chris Furyk. Dennis Undav hasn't gotten a chance yet, but I'm sure he will soon, especially as a striker, because I feel like he fits that striker fluid role that even Gundogan is playing much better than Niklas Füllkrug does. So I think we will definitely see Undav as maybe a number 10 later on in Nagelsmann's games. That is a huge part of it, because these players are hungry. These players have not played at the top level before. They're keen to prove themselves, especially for the Euros. And these are the players who make the difference. I mean, Maximilian Mittelstadt came into this game not having played for Germany less than a month ago. And I mean, he hadn't been capped for Germany a month ago, and he came in and he scored the equalizer for us. A fantastic goal as well, can I just say. These are the kinds of moments that you do not get from players who have been there and done that. These are the moments you get from players who are chasing something, who are chasing the next part of their careers. So I'm really glad that Nagelsmann got to do that.
Yeah, there was absolutely a sense of hunger and urgency within the team, and I think that was pretty evident throughout the two games. As we always do with the post-game show, the first thing we'll do is analyze what Julian Nagelsmann did with his starting 11 And he kept it the same. And why would he change anything? It worked pretty well against France. So Marc-Andre Ter Stegen in goal, center-back combination of Antonio Rudiger and Jonathan Tah. Outside backs were Joshua Kimmich and Maximilian Mittelstadt, of course. As Seiler said, just ripped off a laser to knot the game at 1-1 in the 11th minute. So huge game for him. You could see how excited he was. The central midfield combination was Toni Kroos and Robert Andrić, who, again, I thought they worked pretty well together. I don't know if that's going to be the central midfield combination when we get to the Euros, but they seem to have a pretty nice partnership. I think there are going to be some doubters about Andrić. I'm not saying I'm one of them, but I think there will be some people pushing for someone else to get a call there. But I guess we'll see as these weeks and months develop. The attack consisted of Jamal Musiala, Ilkay Gundogan, Florian Wirtz, and Kai Havertz. Tyler, when you looked at this lineup, and obviously there were no changes, I mean, what would you have done differently, if anything? And how do you think that these guys are functioning together, given this is the second, only the second match that this unit has played together?
I would say that everyone's working quite well, but honestly, if I personally had to change anything, it would just be getting Gundogan out of the squad. The problem is that I'm not in the locker room, and clearly Gundogan has a lot of power within the locker room because he is the captain of the squad. But if I was in Nagelsmann's position, I would try to push Gundogan out of the starting 11 and get Dennis Undav in, because Undav just offers a lot more dynamics in the front four. He can play as a striker far more comfortably than Gundogan. He presses far more frequently than Gundogan. And I just feel like when Gundo got on the ball, he was just a little too slow. When he came on in deep areas, he didn't quite know where to look. And when he received the ball in advanced areas, he would sometimes slow the attack down. He missed quite a big chance as well after receiving from Musiala. I just feel like Undav would be better for this attack. But yeah, that's pretty much the only change. Yeah,
I wouldn't argue with you on that. I think Gundogan is maybe the one weak link right now. And it's not it's nothing against him as a player itself. I just don't think with the way that this unit is functioning, he's the best fit for that role. And I think you're on to something with Undav and how he could potentially fit in. It just seems like he's a more natural and seamless player to be in that spot.
Yeah, I think that's just what it is. I feel like Gundogan kind of has the Goretzka problem, is where he's definitely a world-class player, but where do you put him?
Yeah, and I think you're right. Now, if I had one criticism of the starting 11, and it's not a major one, but I do think it's something that could be a problem down the road. At times, felt like there was a big gap between the central midfield and the center backs. And while it did not really hurt Germany over the course of these two games, I do think that, and I'm going to say this and I'll probably get killed for it, but I think there's a little bit of a lack of quality with the center backs. And I don't mean that they played bad in these two games, because I don't think they did, but I'm just not sure when the stakes get higher and the games mean more. And quite frankly, the opposition is more focused and willing to go all out, that Jonathan Tah and Antonio Rudiger are going to be able to withstand that. What did you think of how the two center backs played over the course of these two games?
I think they were fantastic. And yeah, I think you're definitely onto something with the space between the midfield double pivot and the center backs. When we're out of possession, there was definitely a lot of space there. We got lucky this time around because Ronald Koeman made the paradoxical decision to not play a single attacking midfielder. In fact, he played three defensive midfielders. So Netherlands never had any presence between the lines, so they could never really build up through us. But the second Xavi Simons came on, the entire game changed, because suddenly that gap between the midfield and the center backs got exposed. But I think despite us getting somewhat lucky, the times the center backs were called upon, they definitely did the job. I will say that one goal, it's more down to Andrić not being there and that space being open between the center backs and the midfield. But when the center backs are called upon to do something, they definitely did it, which is the reason we've nearly kept a clean sheet across this entire international break.
Yeah, and you can't take that away from them for sure. I mean, when you only let up one goal against France and the Netherlands combined, that is pretty important and pretty special. Now that we've covered the starting 11 and our takes on that, let's walk the audience through how this game progressed from the get-go. And as we know, the Netherlands got out to a very quick start. Memphis Depay sent in a cross over to Joey Veerman, who volleyed it. I mean, perfect placement. Ter Stegen really couldn't move, couldn't react to it. Put Germany in a 1-0 hole just 4 minutes into the game. What were you thinking at that point? Because I know I was sitting there watching it and I was like, oh no, did I get fooled again? Was I Charlie Brown trying to kick this football and the German national team just pulled it away again? Did they? I was really wondering if they had my belief up and I was going to be let down, but needless to say, they fought back.
I just felt like it was individual mistakes.
Yeah.
That and quality, honestly, because Joey Veerman just does this. This is what he does for PSV Eindhoven. It's his bread and butter, those late runs. So I would say more than anything, that's down to Mittelstadt not being defensively as solid as probably some other options that we could have at wing back. Not to say that Mittelstadt should get dropped. He was fantastic today. Probably our best player on the pitch. But yeah, no, it was just down to some individual errors. I don't see this as a proper problem.
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
Not really, you know. Yeah,
I agree with that. And I think that Mittelstadt, over the course of the game, he did settle in. I like the physicality that he brought to the position. But you're right. I mean, he did have a mistake there. And quite frankly, that's going to happen from time to time. It'll be interesting to see how Nagelsmann and his staff dissect that and if they make any changes. Not saying that they would take Mittelstadt out, but how they position him or maybe how they work with him moving forward. But it was Mittelstadt who did not the game 1-1, as we talked about, in the 11th minute. And that gave me personally a lot of hope because you could see the electricity run through the team once he shot that. It was an absolute laser. And just the way the crowd reacted, the way the team reacted, I was super impressed. And you could see the moment. And in my mind, I look at the kid and I could see how excited he was. And you could see that this was truly a game-changing moment. Did you see it the same way?
It definitely was. It just put a jolt of electricity through everyone. I think it also put the Dutch team on the back foot because they were definitely a little nervous after that, especially during the later stages of the game before Xavi Simons came on. All the way from like the 86th minute back to the Mittelstadt goal, they were on the back foot the entire time. They felt like they were in a corner. And that was because of that goal, because they realized, oh, this Germany team can do something even when they're not, you know, in open play.
Exactly. And the game would go into halftime at 1-1, and the teams would battle back and forth. I thought the Netherlands came out a little bit strong in the second half. They controlled play in the beginning, but they would slowly wear down. And Nagelsmann then started to go to his bench in the 59th minute. Pascal Gross and Chris Furyk, who I can't say enough good things about Furyk and how he came in and impacted the game. I thought that was Nagelsmann's best substitution of the match. Those who came in the 59th minute, they would play on a little bit longer to the 73rd minute when Thomas Muller and Niklas Füllkrug came in for Kai Havertz and Florian Wirtz. At that point, right around that time of that substitution, you could see things really start to shift. I felt like the momentum started to go heavily in Germany's direction, and the attack just became completely relentless. And as you said, they put the Netherlands on their back foot. They could not manage anything consistent with their own attack. Did you think the subs played a big role in how this match played out, and what kind of impact do you think they made?
I think that, I mean, I might get flagged for this because Füllkrug did score the winner, but I think that Havertz was better than Füllkrug overall in the game. I think that he had a more positive impact, but I have to say that the system shift as a whole was definitely better, especially Chris Furyk in for Gundogan, because that moved Wirtz to the center and it put Chris Furyk on the left. That gave us a lot more options in attack, because while Gundogan was maybe better for recycling possession, going forward and on the half turn, Gundogan was just not effective at all this game. And the addition of Furyk gave us an extra avenue. And then Pascal Gross for Robert Andrich as well. Andrich is not as gifted on the ball as Pascal Gross. Gross is one of the smartest players in all of Europe, honestly. So, I mean, yeah, these guys gave us a lot more progression, a lot more, I would say, sharpness in attack than we previously had. And of course, Thomas Muller is Thomas Muller. He was amazing today. On the hold-up play, he created multiple chances for Jamal Musiala and Füllkrug to finish. Unfortunately, we couldn't. Mostly down to the pitch messing us up. And I think that is something we need to talk about, because the pitch was horrible today.
It was so bad. And you could see it early on with the way Musiala, who he is so reliant on his ability to make quick cuts and explode. He just couldn't do it. Couldn't get traction, but he wasn't the only one. We saw players on both teams slip all over the place. We truly do need a Bavarian Grassworks investigative report on this, because it was really bad. And listen, I'm not there. I don't know if the weather in Frankfurt was all that bad or if it was consistent rain. I don't know. But whatever was going on with that pitch, it just seemed like player after player was wiping out. Really disappointing for such a really a quality match like we saw. I know I was disappointed in that, and you know how close the Grassworks pieces are to my heart. We did get up to the 79th minute. Nagelsmann again went to the bench, brought in two outside backs. David Rahm, Benjamin Heinrichs came in for Joshua Kimmich and Maximilian Mittelstadt. And then the big moment happened. Controversial moment in some ways. Germany had earned a corner. Toni Kroos lofted in a ball. It hit Niklas Füllkrug in the shoulder fortuitously. And the ball barely crossed the goal line. It was tapped out. But after review, it was determined that it was a goal. Germany exploded. Everyone was happy. The stadium was going crazy. 2-1 Germany. And that's how the game would end. Ah, what a match. Like, to me, more than anything, it was just uplifting to see the team play that way.
Yeah, I think this is exactly what we need. We need not just a Germany that's tactically competent, not just a Germany that is structurally competent or has a good coach at the top, but it's a Germany that is socially competent. The dynamics are all in the right place. The people know their roles. Everyone individually knows their roles. And more than anything, they have a goal that they have in mind, and they're all laser focused on that goal. No one is looking to the side. No one is checking their options or anything. People who aren't even in the team are involved now. Leroy Sané is going to show up to the team and, you know, stay with them in Frankfurt. And that just shows you that everyone is behind this goal right now. And that's exactly what Germany need right now, because this is going to be a historic tournament for them, whether they like it or not.
Absolutely. And I think we're all looking forward to it. Listen, we're going to take a quick break and then we will be back and wrap up this international break. I want to hear Siler's thoughts on where he thinks this is all going. I know I have my own takes on that. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith. I am here with Siler, bringing you the post-game show. And this is our last segment of the show. Obviously, big 2-1 win for Germany over the Netherlands. I think the biggest takeaway that I can have from this set of games is that there is a reason for hope. There is a reason to think that Germany could be a major factor at the Euro 2024 competition. Siler, you have been all over this German team. You have been Julian Nagelsmann's biggest supporter at times, even when everyone had been doubting him. The impact he's made right now has been incredible. Give me your thoughts about where everything is with the team. Where you see them going from this point, and do you think they can be a major contender at the Euros?
I mean, I think we're sort of, as I said earlier, I feel like everyone in this squad, whether they're a backroom staff player, whether they're an on-pitch player, whether they're suspended and not in the squad, but plan to be in the squad, everyone knows their role. Everyone knows where they have to be. Everyone is laser focused on this. And Nagelsmann has had multiple talks with every individual in the camp. I think everyone knows what they're supposed to do. I think everyone has that goal of winning the Euros in mind, whether it's realistic or not. But I genuinely think if Germany continue to play like this, winning the Euros is very realistic. I think we're in for at least a semifinal run, barring, you know, a run in with, I don't know, Spain or something.
Right.
I think we beat Spain. I genuinely think that right now Germany look like the strongest team in Europe, because we've just beaten France comfortably. Granted, it was a second-string France squad. And I think that England are just too incompetent tactically, despite the fact that they have all the talent in the world. Ditto Belgium. Germany is definitely top two, if not number one, in Europe right now, based off of form, tactical competence, and player talent. This could be it. This could be the tournament for Germany, winning at home.
Yeah, and I think that the team only gets stronger when they bring Manuel Neuer back, and he's in net instead of Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. I think that will improve things. But one X factor, and you touched on it in the first segment of the show, is Leroy Sané. Where does he fit in here? Because when I look at this attack right now, I look at Kai Havertz, who it seems like Nagelsmann is pretty tied to and seems like he's going to give him that chance. Florian Wirtz and Jamal Musiala, you cannot take out of the lineup. And then you get to the captain, Ilkay Gundogan. How does Leroy Sané fit into this? Will Nagelsmann give him the opportunity? I mean, we know that Nagelsmann loves Sané from their time together at Bayern Munich. So what would you say this would look like? Do you think Sané can come in and break into this lineup? And would Nagelsmann have the gumption to put his captain on the bench? I'm not so sure. And that's one of the things that I think is going to be a hot button topic as we get closer to the Euros.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, really, because if I have to slot Sané in anywhere here, it's going to be at number 10 or on the right wing with Florian Wirtz through the middle. And I mean, yeah, either of those combinations puts Ilkay Gundogan on the bench. Would he do that? That is the hot pocket question, as you said. That I mean, it's the most, possibly the most socially interesting question of this entire Germany team. Because it's not like Sané is going to be on the bench. As you said, Nagelsmann, Sané, that's a very tight partnership. Nagelsmann probably unlocks Sané better than anyone else. I don't see Gundogan getting benched.
No, and that's where I think this becomes, I don't want to say a problem, but it becomes an issue for sure. And listen, you have players who have seemingly accepted their roles, like Thomas Muller knows. At this point, he's going to be a bench player. He seems content with it. Seems like he's happy when he gets in and he likes his role on the team. Sané is not the same kind of player as Thomas Muller. He's in a different stage of his career where he wants to be on the big stage. He wants the pressure on him. He wants to be in the spotlight. And for Nagelsmann to be in this spot right now where you absolutely cannot take Wirtz and Musiala off. They are your two foundational players. Kai Havertz, it seems like Nagelsmann is keen on unlocking something within Havertz that we haven't seen since his Leverkusen days. So I think he's committed to Havertz. I think he's committed to Musiala and Wirtz. But Gundogan, this is where it becomes an issue. And I would hope at this point that Gundogan, if he is the odd man out of the scenario, would be able to handle it like a veteran. But I don't know. Like you said earlier, he carries a lot of weight in the locker room. And this could be the one disruptive thing that happens. And I would hate to see all of this hard work be thrown away because Nagelsmann is in a tough spot with his captain. It is one of the biggest topics, I think, that we'll be talking about BFW as we get closer to the Euros. So, Siler, we're going to wrap this up, but I want to give you the opportunity. What are your any last takeaways on this? Anything that you think you saw over the past two games that maybe we haven't touched on in this show or the other post-game show? What's on your mind regarding this team before we wrap this show up?
I think one person that doesn't get mentioned at all and really should be is Mats Buttereit, the set-piece coach for Germany. He has been the set-piece coach for a while now. He was brought in by Hansi Flick, or he was brought in just before Hansi Flick. He should be given massive credit because Germany's set pieces look extremely sophisticated. And of the four goals that we have scored in this international break, three of them have come from set pieces. There is no man who deserves more credit in the backroom staff, maybe other than Nagelsmann, than Mats here. So, yeah, that's just, I feel like everyone should acknowledge his work because it has been integral.
That's a fantastic point. I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head with that one. And that will about do it for this edition of the Post Game Show. Thanks for listening in. We appreciate all of the downloads of this podcast. And of course, when you check out BavarianFootballWorks.com, we'll have all of our great post game coverage, including the initial analysis, the match awards, the observations, this podcast, and all of the reactions. So check us out there. We've got everything you need for Germany versus the Netherlands. As always, you can get me at the Barrel Blog. You can get Siler at BFW Siler. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. You can get Tom Adams at TommyAdams71. Thank you again for listening to this. Be excited about Germany. You should. Have a couple of beers on me and Siler, and we'll see you next time.